From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. This is Locked On Chiefs, the day after the big Turkey Day. And those games, we were recording ahead of time, so I don't know the outcome of those three games. But how are you feeling, Chris?
I'm feeling pretty good because I'm not comatose yet. So I think, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, the wife's got pies in the oven. I've got half of my stuff prepped. I'm smoking some mushrooms tonight, and it's a whole production. So,
oh man, that sounds good. When am I supposed to be over for Thanksgiving?
You better get on the road. You want to make it here, pal?
Yeah.
So, folks, hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We're obviously counting down to it, but we have a lot to talk about in this particular football game that was just so epic that on first glance, it feels just so much like a show, particularly for the guy they call Showtime. And I want to talk about him to start off the bat because I've seen a lot of different commentary. Oh, go ahead.
You mentioned Showtime. I think we would be remiss if we don't mention that Matt Derrick has written a book, and you need to go look at Twitter or Google Showtime and Matt Derrick and look for his book and go pre-order it. It should be out soon.
It is out now from what I saw this morning. Okay. Somebody saw it at a Walgreens of all places. Folks, you've heard Matt talk to you before about a whole bunch of things. This is him doing an entire book on Patrick Mahomes, which is incredible, not only just because it's Matt and his perspective is so unique and honestly so honest, but it's because, I mean, they're doing books on a guy who's played 11 games. Or I'm sorry, 12 games, including last year. So, I mean, this is like the first in many. This is chapter one of what's going to be a volume of stuff written about this quarterback.
Yeah, there's going to be a ton written. And Seth just tweeted something out that really kind of makes me sad. But I'm sure it will change over time. He goes through a whole bunch of different QBs, great QBs of the past. Record when the team scores at least 40 points. And, yeah, the entire list, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Steve Young, Jim Kelly, Philip Rivers, Joe Montana, Brett Favre, Roger Staubach, John Elway, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers. They're a combined 204-2 when their team scores 40 points.
And Pat's 0-2, right?
No, Pat's 2-2.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm not going to hold it against him.
I'm not holding it against him. It's insane.
That's kind of crazy.
I mean,
I've seen a lot of people to even think that he's up there. Yeah, that's a very good point. That echelon of company.
Yep. Yeah, to even make the thought that he scored 40 points four times this season.
And we're not done. No. Oh, and so, that's what it comes down to, because I've seen a lot of people saying that the Rams figured out how to crack Pat Mahomes. And, you know, I just want to refute that. There's no cracking. The kid had a couple of bad plays. Honestly, I will say that the two-minute drill, one was tipped, one wasn't, one was on Pat. He looked like he got his feathers ruffled a little bit there at the end. But that happened after the line let him get hammered for a couple of turnovers, another pick that came out of nowhere. And Ebukam, I got to give him a lot of credit for that play. But I thought at the end of the day, the big takeaway for me is that this kid hasn't had to face much adversity. He finally runs into it, and despite coughing up the ball, what, five times himself?
Yep.
Still put up 50 on the board and had his team within a hair's breadth of winning that game.
Well, and you take it a step further. You're right. They have a way to crack Pat Mahomes. You sick Aaron Donald on him the entire game. Good luck with that the rest of the NFL.
Yeah, right.
Or actually, we can go even a step further than that. You sick four defensive line starters that are former first round picks on him the entire game.
Yeah, but even take a step back from that. What did anybody else do? No, Cam had a good day. I'm not saying that.
But. Exactly. No, I'm with you on that 100%. All I'm saying is that there's no other team in the NFL that is going to have that.
And, you know, I've started going through the film. I have not completed it yet. In fact, I'm going to, because this is a bye week, it's kind of weird for both the show and for the video stuff. I'm going to do a couple of film rooms and take them in pieces. But one of the things is, I think, well, we'll talk about this in the second break. Pat had so much pressure in his face, particularly from Aaron Donald, that he just impressed me all the more that this is the first time that he'd really been hit. I mean, like, hit repeatedly, hit to the point that he can't get his action done. And we all know how quick he is to throw the ball, how quick he is moving out of the pocket, and how well he can read. But this is the first time when his natural abilities to break the pocket and get something done were actually limited. And I thought that must be frustrating for a guy who's had so much success so fast. But the fact that nobody quit on him and he didn't quit on anybody else, I thought that was the biggest thing that you can say for a young quarterback in that position.
No, absolutely. And then you also look at the fact that he learned from the Aaron Donald mistakes early in the game because, you know, in the I don't know if it's the late third quarter or early fourth quarter, the pocket collapsed on him and he just, you know, I hate saying it this way, but he honestly looked like he curled up in a ball almost.
Two arms on the ball to protect it. Yeah.
Yeah. In that situation, you know, we saw Alex do that several times throughout his career, but Alex would have crumbled after the, and I'm not, I crumble's probably not the right word, but he would have done that after the first hit.
Yeah. I mean, that's the difference, and nothing against Alex Smith, but yeah. And Alex isn't alone. The bulk of quarterbacks in this league would have gone a little turtle shell there had they been on that, under that kind of pressure.
Yeah, no, and absolutely. And you look at what Aaron Donald was able to do. Aaron Donald was a fantastic player, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Cam Irvin other than Cam Irvin, if you hear this, please, 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 whatever you do, if you have another chance, fall on the ball. Don't try to scoop it.
Yeah, you know, and we're going to talk about Cam here in a minute because there are some things that need to change, but why don't we take our first break? We'll come back. We'll talk about some of the things that have to be corrected. Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com. Okay, so you mentioned Cam Irving, and here's the thing. Cam Irving simply falling on that ball wins that game.
Yep.
Orlando Scandrick coming up with that ball rather than just being able to tip it wins that game.
Yep. Travis Kelce catching the ball on third and two probably wins that game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and this is my big takeaway.
Travis Kelce. Okay, hold on. One more other play. Travis Kelce making a block on Kareem Hunt's rushing down that got him down at the 2 yard line. Travis Kelce whips on the block that would have set him, sprung him for a touchdown. Chiefs kicked a field goal. Now, maybe that doesn't win in the game, but at least it gets them up 4 more points and the Rams have to score more.
Right, right. I completely agree with you. And this is all, these are all ways this team could have won that particular game while still overcoming 5 turnovers, an offensive line that was in disarray the majority of the game.
The interior,
and
yes.
Having to play from behind more so than they have ever this season. It's one thing to be behind the Patriots, but to have that many lead changes and keep getting the wind blown out of your sails, that was significant. And the thing that makes me feel like Patrick Mahomes is going to be just fine is because he continued to push that steady on kind of thing. Now, does he need to protect the ball better? You could say that. I mean, one, it was a great chop from Donald, so I can't really blame him for that. But certainly, the pick to Peters was not the greatest decision. I felt like he was pressing there at the end. There's room for him to improve. But I've seen a lot of people complaining about how he's hit his wall, and this game isn't on Patrick Mahomes in my mind. Is it yours?
No, but I have to argue with you on that because and I really don't want to get too deep into this because there's no telling where that ball was actually going. But just because – and I will admit, I have not gone back and I have not watched it. But what I will say is where he threw the ball from, if he threw it as deep as I think that ball was going, there's no way it gets picked if his arm isn't hit. Now, you can argue that the decision to throw the ball with somebody coming at you is a bad choice. And if you want to argue that, okay, I still don't necessarily agree with that because it's just part of what he does, and you're going to have to take those with what he does.
I agree. That is what he does, but that is exactly what I'm talking about. He pushed it too far. He went over the line of this guy is within that circle that I can't get this ball out cleanly in the time he's going to hit me. That's what I meant by he was pressing. He was just trying too hard.
Well, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, although I will say it looked like right before he started his windup that Kelce was going to have him blocked enough for him to get the throw off.
Well, don't even start me. The guy's already got a pick six. He's been in your face half the night, and you decide to just block him with a tight end.
I understand, okay, here's the thing, and I agree with you. If he moves a foot over, that's probably not a pick. If he moves at all, it's probably not a pick. So I agree. I mean, he made a mistake. He should have moved. He should have done something. But, you know, I will argue that I don't think the throw was going to be an interception regardless, because to me, it looked like he was getting ready to launch that ball, and the only person that had a chance at it would have been Tyreek.
Yeah, you know, I think it was clearly he had beaten the defense, if I remember correctly. I am reviewing that one in particular for one of the videos, so check for those here, folks. But that said, that decision to let Kelce go one-on-one and the decision to have Cam Irving block Aaron Donald single-handedly, I think were the cornerstones that led to this game being what it was. There are a number of other problems that we'll talk about coaching-wise probably Monday. No, actually, we won't talk about it Monday because we're talking with Matt Miller on Monday, folks. So make sure you're ready for that. Matt will cover a number of topics. We'll try not to get too heavy into the draft because it's not the offseason yet, but we'll get there. But that decision, that concept that, yes, Cam Irving's an athletic guard. Yes, he has played left tackle. So knowing that Donald likes to rush to the outside, maybe that plays into it. But just the simple fact that he is clearly what J.J. Watt was a few years ago, the best single defender in this league, I thought that was a gross underestimation of what you have to do to control him. Because if you take Aaron Donald out of that game and he doesn't get those pressures, you win by going away by, what, two scores? And you keep your quarterback upright.
Yeah. No, and I don't disagree with that, although I will say that it looked like Cam Irving set wrong on those specific plays. I understand what you're saying, that you shouldn't leave him single. But at the same time, when you're trying to score as much as you are, you need as many people out in routes as you can possibly have. Now, one thing that I would have considered doing is running backs at him to chip him the entire game.
Oh, yeah.
Just have him run through the middle of the defensive line to try to get out and just be a, you know, an outlet and have him try to at least chip Donald, because all it really needs is just a little bit of a chip. Honestly, if you look at that game, yes, he allowed two huge sacks, two huge strips, but we're talking about Aaron Donald here. He is a phenomenal player, and I think Cam Irving did a pretty good job outside of those two plays. He probably allowed a little bit more pressure, but I don't know if you saw this. PFF listed Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz as the best two tackles in the NFL in week 12.
I did see that.
Or week 11.
And I think that's very interesting. I thought Schwartz played one of his more mediocre games, to tell you the truth. Quite honestly, I don't think Ebikam should be a guy that should be able to take advantage of him like that. Well, even outside of that one lucky pick out of the dark. I mean, that was a heck of a play on his part, but.
Yeah, it was. And any other player probably doesn't catch it. Just the way he had to catch it. And the other side of that is Pat didn't put anything on the ball, so that's partially on him as well. Phenomenal game otherwise. I mean, you know, we still have a QB that is essentially a rookie. Yes, it's a second year, but he's still essentially a rookie. He hasn't played a full season in the NFL yet. He's already got two games where he's thrown for over six touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Or thrown for six touchdowns, I should say. And I think in four of his 11 games this year, he's thrown for four or more.
It's crazy numbers. You know, and...
Thank you, because my fantasy football team's appreciating it.
Well, I was going to say, that sealed my win. I honestly, I only needed Pat and Tyreek at the end of the day, I could have won my game with just those two guys and cleared the rest of my bench.
Yeah, I didn't have Tyreek Hill, but I scored. Patrick Mahomes scored me 87 points, even though he turned the ball over five times in my league.
Wow. One last thing, and I want to touch on it before we start looking at what this means for the future. I heard a lot of people complaining in my mentions about should have never let Peters go. Peters didn't do anything. You know what Peters did? Stuck him on a tight end because he can't play on the outside against this team.
He got burnt.
They wouldn't even let him line up with Connelly. So getting a lucky interception there on a grossly underthrown ball on a quarterback that was hit in the throwing motion. Y'all can step out of my comments about having to get Peters back and what a terrible trade that was, folks. This is not a guy that changed this game in the slightest. He was the recipient of a lucky play. And I think, honestly, I think Kelce gets the better of him next time.
Absolutely. And I don't think Marcus Peters can cover Travis Kelce. And I still go back and I will say it again. I have not done a rewatch yet, and I'll say that again. But to me, if Kelce plays his best game as a Chief, Chiefs win going away. He laid too many things out on the field. He had multiple plays where he left things out on the field.
Yeah, I can get down with that. He did not have the greatest day receiving.
Blocking. I mean, he could have sprung Kareem Hunt on that blocking play I talked about earlier. He stopped on a route, which Pat looked like he overthrew him on, but Kelce slowed down. If he doesn't slow down, that's a big play. I don't remember what happened on that drive, but you know, there was a couple instances where Kelce just didn't do what he needed to do and are plays you expect from him.
And don't tell Seth this because we don't need to pump him up anymore. But when he talks about people looking at box scores and doing their analysis that way, he's absolutely right because people have looked at what Travis Kelce did. He 10 receptions on 15 targets, five of them for first downs. He broke 100 yards. He scored. Everybody thinks he played great. Those two drops were critical and changed the course of this football game. And so I'm not going to let him off the hook and just say, he's all right. So I agree with Seth for the moment.
I would bet you anything, Kelce is probably his harshest critic. He wouldn't let himself off for it either.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So
let's take our next break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about what this means going forward. Okay, so I vented about Marcus.
You've been a lot today.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it's misconceptions. This is one of the greatest football games ever played. And the amount of gross mischaracterization about who played badly and why they played badly, I just feel like we got to set people straight because I feel a lot of people are down on this team because of this one game. And I think it's our job to impress upon the audience, although I'm sure you guys already know it, this team's not going anywhere bad. This was one hiccup in an extraordinary circumstance. And what it means is that, again, just like the Patriots game, the quarterback who seems to be the focus of the ire had a terrible game, five turnovers. A very, very gross game for him. He will learn from this, as he did from the Patriots game, and he will be that much better. This is still a guy who's leading the league in multiple categories, who has this team on track for a first-round bye. Nothing is threatening that. So long as they don't go in the tank and start feeling negative, this team's going to be in position to be a number one seed.
Absolutely. You know, Seth and I kind of talked about this on yesterday's on Wednesday's podcast, but let's go through it real quick. Kansas City has Oakland, Baltimore, Chargers, Seattle, and Oakland. I'm sorry, I think they end up 14-2.
I won't argue with you.
They may end up 13-3, but I think they end up 14-2. I cannot see the Chargers coming in on Thursday night having to travel east and being able to successfully come off traveling to beat Kansas City in Kansas City after Kansas City plays home against Baltimore the week before.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I see 14-2 as the most likely. If they should trip up, I think it will be against those Chargers.
Could be.
But 13-3 is probably still going to be good enough to get a bye. So I'm not worried about it. And we're talking about probably settling for a record that that Dick Vermeil is the last guy to put up. So let's not get too carried away about how negative this is.
And then we go to the Chargers, who currently have 3 losses. They play against Arizona this week. They play Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Denver. I think they lose at least one of those games. Or maybe 2.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think they can definitely lose against Pittsburgh. I think they could possibly lose against Cincinnati. Obviously, I still think they lose against Kansas City as well, but I'm not so much worried about, you know, Baltimore, Denver, Arizona, although Baltimore's a possibility. You know, you have the Steelers, who have Denver this week, Chargers next week, Oakland, New England, New Orleans, and Cincinnati. I'm not so sure they don't lose 2 games.
The Broncos have already been a spoiler. Could be. You're absolutely right. The Broncos have already been a spoiler. You know, root for the Broncos this weekend. Let them spoil somebody else's season.
Well, in New England and New Orleans, I mean, those I think are 2 losses. I don't think they're going to win both of those games. And then you look at the Patriots. The Patriots are the biggest thing. You know, honestly, you have to root for Pittsburgh against the Patriots. It's the only game you got to root for them, because it looks like right now the Patriots have the Vikings this week, I believe. And then they have Miami, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
The Jets.
Not exactly difficult.
Nope. So you need to be rooting for Minnesota, and you need to be rooting for Pittsburgh in those 2 games. If the Patriots lose 1 game, Kansas City is the number 1 seed in the AFC, and it goes through Kansas City.
Well, let's hope that that happens. I'll be rooting for those teams. Hope you guys enjoyed your holiday. Enjoy these games, and knowing that you can kind of have a more relaxed weekend.
And I have to throw this out there. I know we said at the beginning of the show, but please go order Matt Derrick's book, Showtime, about Patrick Mahomes. There's a lot of great information in there.
We'll be back with you next week. Matt Miller on Monday, going to talk all kinds of things with him. And then we'll be back into our flow, getting ready for the Chiefs' next opponent. Again, happy Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you then.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.